We've been talking about the spiritual gifts. Here's the gifts that we have covered so far, and tonight we come to the gifts of healing. Now, I have to say that there's nothing difficult about understanding the gift of healings or the gift of miracles, which will be the next one in my mind. And yet, I find these two gifts to be the most challenging as far as understanding the practice of spiritual gifts in life today. So I'll explain that as I go on through the study. But when we come to the gifts of healing, I think, first of all, there are few gifts that are more desired than that are there's no other gift that is as desired as the gift of healing. And I think the reason for that is because all of us at some point or another go through something in our lives that impacts our health negatively, and it can be very traumatic, and obviously it ends in death for everyone. And so we come to God knowing that He can heal and praying and asking that He would heal, and the gifts of healing and the examples of healing in Scripture come to mind and come to heart. So we're talking about the gift of healing. You can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. That's the passage that we're going through as we're talking about the gifts. And as we come to the gifts of healing, we have seen that the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the gift of faith have a non-miraculous kind of everyday element or component to them, as well as a miraculous component potentially. But when we come to the gift of healing, I think it is the first truly just miraculous kind of gift. There's no non-miraculous component to this, really. So we look at the gift of healing. It kind of forms a line here in this list, and we go through trying to understand the miraculous nature of the gift of healing. Now, I think, as an aside here, when we talk about the gift of healing, every healing is a miracle, right? So you have healing, and then you have miracles. But if every healing is a miracle, why do you need a separate gift of healing? And I think that one of the reasons that we have this gift of healing distinguished from miracles is to show that God understands that healing is important to us or necessary for our lives. It shows that, and it shows that God cares about our health. He cares about it. Thus, He has given to the church this gift of healing. If God did not care about our health, He would not have this gift of healing. And of course, when we begin by looking at the life of Jesus, and this goes from Jesus in the Gospels through the book of Acts and the apostles, we see healings taking place regularly, healing after healing after healing. And so this focus on healing shows again that God understands that we need it and that He cares about our health. So, just kind of keep that in mind as we go through this. I don't think anything that we're going to say is hard to understand, but there's, in my mind, just it's hard to understand the Scripture and then what we see in practice in real life. So that's where the challenge is, and I'm just being honest, the challenge is for me in my life. Now, I am not a cessationist. Anybody know what that word means? Cessationist or cessationism. That is not me. Ceasing? Okay. A cessationist is someone who believes that the miraculous or the sign gifts have ceased with the age of the apostles and are no longer in practice today. That is not me. I do not believe that. There's a good portion of Christianity that believes that the miraculous gifts have ceased. Now, of course, they don't believe that God can't heal and God can't do miracles. They believe He can do both of those. They just don't believe in the gift of healing or the gift of miracles. And so there's kind of a distinction to me to be made there. I believe all of the gifts are in operation today or in play potentially today, so I'm not a cessationist. However, I have to admit that I don't see the gifts of healing and the gifts of miracles operating as I envision or understand a gift to operate. So what I mean by that is, if I have the gift of teaching, I can basically teach the Word of God regularly and ongoing. But if so, and so, in line with that, if someone had the gift of healing, I would expect the same sort of thing, right? Just a regular, ongoing ability to manifest the healing power of the Spirit of God in people's lives, like Jesus did. And that's where the challenge is to understand that. So I believe the gifts are still available to us, though there's the challenge of seeing them in operation as gifts of the Spirit of God. All right, everybody, was that clear as mud, I guess? Gary?
Talking about this one, it's like all the healing crusades and stuff, would it like show business?
Yes.
And I mean, that is really undermining people's faith. But yeah. They say, well, if he does this and God doesn't heal me, then it must be something wrong with me.
Yeah. Has anybody ever been to one of those faith healing rallies? Anybody? You've been to one, Alan? I'm like shocked that you, of all people, would have been to one. Oh, okay. You went to like, all right, look out, guys, we're coming. All right, that doesn't count.
Because if somebody, in my opinion, had truly,
yes,
had to get the healing,
right,
there should be no child sent to the hospital.
That's right. So what Gary is saying, and my first church experience was like that. In other words, the pastor would pray for people to be healed, and if they were not healed, it was their fault, not the pastor's fault. And so he claimed to be able, or he had the gift of healing, but it was the lack of faith on the part of the person who needed the healing that was the problem. It wasn't his fault. Now, that was his problem, but it's not unique to my pastor, and Gary, you know, kind of affirms that. But that's just kind of the issue. So the point is this: if the pastor truly had the gift of healing, it wouldn't matter if the person being healed had the faith or not, because he has the faith to heal. And we see examples of this in Scripture. For example, when Jesus raised the boy from the dead. Well, the boy couldn't have any faith, right? It was Jesus. It was Jesus' faith that raised him from the dead. And it was a lot of times Jesus' faith for other miracles as well. But if the person did have faith, what did Jesus do? He what?
Your faith has made you well.
Yes, he would affirm that person's faith and say that they received the healing because of their faith. Now, if I received something like that and Jesus said that to me, that would be extremely encouraging to me. You know what I'm saying? If Jesus comes up to me and in some way I exhibit faith and he says, your faith has made you well, that would be an encouragement to me. I mean, first receiving the healing, then second knowing that I've had the faith for it. Because Jesus could have healed me without my faith at any time, or anybody without anybody's faith at any time. So anyway, that's what Gary was talking about there. And I don't believe that. I think that puts a lot of guilt on the people not getting healed, that is somehow their fault. We already struggle with that, don't we? I mean, when we pray, Lord, why aren't you healing me? You know, we're already struggling. Well, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have enough faith? That's kind of a common feeling or approach when, you know, going to God for healing or anything else. You know, it's kind of a struggle of our faith. And we try to understand, well, is it his will or is it his will? Have I done something wrong or is it just not supposed to be? And we just kind of run through all the scenarios in our head. And it's a struggle for us. And that's okay. That's part of maturing in our Christian walk. But in some cases, it can be just kind of a power thing. Well, you didn't get it because you didn't have faith. It's your fault. And that just kind of increases the weight. Now, we know what healing is, and we see stories of Jesus healing the blind and the lame and the paralytic and the dead and other illnesses. There are some verses that are just all-encompassing. It says they brought to Jesus all that were sick, and he healed them all. And, you know, and we see those kinds of verses as well. So it's really common in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Here's one example, actually, from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. A multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, I mean, that's a pretty powerful verse, and it's impactful on so many people that we have no idea about. It just shows the presence of God to heal at that time and for those people. Now, what the gift isn't. Some people want to say that the gift of healing is some kind of, is related to our medical abilities in our day. So through time, God has given grace to people to be able to diagnose illnesses and to prescribe the right medications. And if you've been to the doctor, you know that diagnosing something properly is critical in putting somebody on the path to healing. I mean, just look at Darlene's knee. How is your knee, by the way?
Not good.
So how many operations have you had now?
Two
operations.
Three, actually.
Three? So in this case, Darlene continues to have some problems with her knee, and the doctors cannot figure out exactly what's going on. And I think two of the operations were exploratory in nature, or, you know.
One was nerve and one was exploratory.
Okay, so, you know, just trying to figure out, trying to diagnose the problem so that they can take care of it. And I've experienced that in my family, and I'm sure others of us have experienced that, you know, just the inability to diagnose something properly. I took Stephen to the doctor. This was a few years ago, and we go to Harper's Ferry, and we really liked the doctor, but he had a cough. Stephen had a cough, a persistent cough. So the doctor said, well, it could be this, and it could be this, and it could be this, and it could be this. He said it could be four things, and he prescribed four medications for each of the possibilities. So I didn't fill those prescriptions, but that's sometimes, you know, if you can't diagnose it, I mean, that was his approach to managing the issue. Here, try this medication, try this. If that doesn't work, try this. It's like, what? I'm not doing that. All right. Joe was telling me, I think they wanted to do surgery on your knee. Yeah, so they wanted to, I might not remember it right, but he was telling me a couple of weeks ago, they wanted to do surgery on his knee, and he went to a doctor, and that doctor gets paid per surgery, and so they wanted to do the surgery, and then he went to, you're back? Okay, so then you went to the VA hospital, and
that was a civilian doctor.
Yeah.
The Army sent me out.
Right.
He wanted to do all this because he makes money with his cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get the same paycheck, so they don't care.
Yeah.
So they all just do it still.
Yeah, and I think that's not uncommon for doctors to prescribe surgeries because that's how they get paid.
Surgeons, that's how they make money.
Yeah, that's how they make their money. Gary?
Also, in the scriptures and talks about healing, there's a process to it. You go to the elders of the church, you're anointed with the oil, and you pray for it. You don't wave your hands and knock somebody over and they're healed.
Yeah.
There's a method to it.
Yeah, and you know, different churches out there practice these things in different ways, and there's some pretty extreme churches too. But my point is that the medical advancement is by God's grace. I do believe that God gives grace and He gives us the ability to discover things and to identify medications and that are helpful. I do believe that God works that way. We're enjoying the advancements of science here in this room tonight, you know, by being able to sit on these chairs and enjoy the light, and the air conditioner comes on every once in a while, which is a good thing. And, you know, I've got my Bible and my notes and a whole bunch of books on this amazing little iPad here, and I can control the thing with my phone or my iPad, however I choose. And so, you know, we drove here in our cars, right? Nobody, yeah? Okay, y'all made it here in your cars. We could have flown in our helicopters if we wanted to, right? You know, in theory, you know, it's just amazing we can do that. I was communicating with our pastor that we support in Zambia just 2 days ago from on our Facebook. That's just incredible that we have this kind of technology. And so I do believe that God gives grace for the advancement of medical things and medicines that are helpful. Has anybody benefited from taking medicines or going to the doctor? Yeah, all right, and I have too. So that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is that is not the gift. There's a distinction between the grace that God gives for scientific and medical advancements and other technological advancements. There's a difference between that and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of the Spirit's presence. And that would mean if medical ability was the gift of healing, that would mean that the best doctors would be the Christians, and it would mean that an unbelieving doctor can't have the gift of the Holy Spirit because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, there would be this strange, you know, demarcation between the saved and the unsaved and the gift of healing and the regular kind of healing that God gives through grace. Tyson? Right.
Right. Because, I mean, really, even the people that Jesus resurrected ended up dying again.
Right.
And they might have been sick again.
Right.
None of these things might have happened. But the greater need is their salvation.
Yes. Well, it's not uncommon to see the gifts like healing and miracles and tongues, and they're referred to as sign gifts. So what happens is, like on the day of Pentecost, for example, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples as they're meeting in the upper room. They begin to speak in these languages that all these people that had gathered understand that they did not know how to speak. And to them, they know a miracle is taking place. And because a miracle is taking place, they then listen to the regular preaching of Peter about Christ and salvation. And a couple of thousand people are saved as a result of that. So, yes, healing and miracles and these supernatural gifts would fall into this sign gift kind of miraculous category, pointing to the better thing, the best thing, which is the salvation of our souls. And that's true always. Now, what that would mean is that unless there is the opportunity for salvation, then you're not going to have these miraculous or sign gifts. And this is where the cessationists, the people who believe that the miraculous gifts have ceased, they come into play. They believe that the spiritual gifts have ceased, but we have been given something that no other time has had, and that's the Word of God. So we proclaim the Word of God. We don't need that kind of a sign gift in order to bring people to salvation. That's their position. But in my thinking, look, yeah, we have a lot of church, just talking about America, not talking about other parts of the world. You would assume that maybe if we went on a mission trip into China or into Indonesia somewhere where, you know, they do not believe at all. They believe false gods. Then we would go in there, and God would begin to do some miraculous things as sign gifts to authenticate the message that we are proclaiming and preaching. And so that might be, and you'll hear stories like that. That might be a modern day manifestation of this in a way, you know, that kind of makes some sense. Or more sense. However, you know, here in America, we're founded on Christianity, but we're inundated and flooded by unbelief all around us. And it's not that we can't use some help with some of these sign gifts. We could, and make some powerful use of that to bring people to salvation, I think. But it could be. You could be right in that. Maybe that's why God doesn't do that now as much. I don't know. This is still something I'm wrestling with and puzzling through. myself. So going back to our point here is that I don't believe that medical advancement and medicine is the gift of healing. I believe that there's a distinction there, okay? Another thing that I would make a distinction for is that the gift of healing is not merely praying for healing. Now, we're supposed to pray for healing, but I don't believe that somebody who has the gift of healing is going to just, well, let me stop, let's pray, and, you know, see if God heals. We don't see that. We see something else, actually. So here's some examples. Acts chapter 9, verse 34. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." You see what I'm talking about there? They don't stop. They don't have a prayer meeting. He just declares it, be healed. And that's how Jesus did it as well. Acts chapter 14, verses 9 through 10. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped up and walked. Now, we do have examples of other places where there is prayer. Acts chapter 9, verse 40 says, "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up." So there's an example of Peter taking the time to pray and then speaking to the body of the girl to rise, and she did. So we should pray. That's really where we fall, since we don't see the gift of healing in manifestation. What we do, what I do, is I'll pray for you. And I'll show you another verse in a little while. So we do need to pray, and of course we should take everything in prayer to the Lord. And what we do most of the time is take our healing needs or whatever else, whatever needs we have in life, we take them to the Lord always. And we should do that. That's the great privilege of the Christian. Prayer is the great privilege of the Christian. We have been invited by God to take our requests to Him. What a great privilege we have. So we should do that. We should pray without ceasing. The gift of healing, then, is the power to speak healing. It is, I envision it as being able to go to the hospital or being able to come to church and, you know, just kind of take care of everybody's health needs. That's how I would envision it in operation. But of course, I don't see that. Now, there are other aspects of healing. It's not just physical healing, external physical healing. The word healing is used to refer to other things as well. For example, inner healing. So Luke chapter 4, 18, we see the ministry of Jesus described. And notice how it is put in this verse. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now look at this next one. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." So here the word healing is used with reference to the inner turmoil that somebody might be experiencing, the brokenhearted. And so I believe that healing is available for us as Christians, not only physically when something is wrong with us and how we're working, but also emotionally and mentally. There is healing available to us in Christ. And that shouldn't surprise us. He is God. He can help us with everything that we face, and that includes the healing of the mind and the emotions. Spiritual healing is probably the number one thing that we should have in mind, and Tyson brought this up earlier. So we have Luke chapter 5, verses 31, 32. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of the physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So here he's using the idea of being well and going to the doctor as a correlation with the need for salvation. You see the connection there? And so the healing that Jesus brings, honestly, the greatest miracle that takes place is the miracle of salvation. And we've all experienced that. And we can be grateful to Him for that ongoing healing that takes place in the lives of people when they are brought to salvation. Their sins are forgiven and Christ moves in. That's the greatest miracle of all. And then another verse that kind of describes that. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so you have the reference here to coming alive. That's, you know, you were dead and now you're made alive. That's a resurrection. That's a, and it's spiritual in nature. So this is, our spiritual health is really important. And a lot of times some of the physical ailments are corresponded with, you know, spiritual things. So like when he talks about the, to the Pharisees, he calls them blind and deaf because they're not able to see and to hear the truth that is, that Jesus is preaching. So spiritually speaking, if we were to examine ourselves, we could ask the question, am I like a blind person, spiritually speaking? Am I like a lame person, spiritually speaking? Am I saved, but am I hobbling around? Do I have to be carried, spiritually speaking? Or led by the hand, spiritually speaking? These are questions that we can ask ourselves. And honestly, I think that, I know for me, I'm a lot more poor in spirit than I wish was true. You know what I mean? And so we can come to Christ and cry out to him for spiritual healing. What were you saying?
Not poor enough.
Not poor enough. All right. Now, healing through prayer, and this is what we practice here in the church, and one of the verses, of course, you know, if somebody is sick, we pray for them. We have a short time after the service where we pray. There's this passage in James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So this is a prayer verse. Anointing him with oil, that's symbolic, and I have my oil thing up here that I'll just put a little cross on your forehead while I'm praying for you. Anointing him with oil in the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Notice the connection to spiritual healing at the end there of this passage. So this is our practice. This is the best that we can do currently, since I don't know anybody that has the gift of healing, but this, we follow this verse. And I wish more of us in the church would take advantage of this, you know, during the prayer time, coming up and asking for prayer for healing. Because going back to how we started, God cares. He gave us this gift of healing, which means that he understands our frailty and he cares about it. And he wants us to take our health issues to him. Okay? Any questions about healing and healing? We'll do miracles next. Gary?
I mean, I would put this out as a miracle. I have, because I've had so many abdominal surgeries, I get small bowel obstructions every couple of years. And the last one I had, I would have never known it, but on the CAT scan, they found I had a real small cancer tumor in my right kidney. If I would have never had that small bowel obstruction, it might have turned into stage 4. I had no symptoms.
Sure.
And they were able to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that as we move into the miracles now, examples like that. Has anybody ever had do you have an example where God healed you just miraculously? Anybody have an example of that?
I know of a case I spoke with an older gentleman who, he had been claustrophobic since knee high.
Uh-huh.
And he was, I guess, in his 20s at this point, and he had gotten a job at this particular factory where
right. He
was on the rotation to do something in a confined space. But again, being claustrophobic, elevators were impossible. This was impossible. That was impossible. And it came his turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up to it and he said, Lord, you're going to have to fix this because I can't do this. Cured of claustrophobia right then and there.
Yeah.
But the point is he asked for the healing, not for his own selfishness.
Right.
He was trying to properly reflect God and be a good employee.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's some of the reason why we don't see some of these things is because we're not asking because we want God to get the center stage spotlight. It's for our own selfish wants.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be selfish about it, God has already told us, James, I don't answer those.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with that, Alan. But at the same time, and I've wrestled with this a lot, trust me, at the same time, when Jesus goes up to the blind man and he says, what can I do for you? And he says, that I can see. I don't know how you get away from, well, Lord, you know, I want to do it for you, and if this will glorify you the most, and I don't think he had that understanding a lot of times. They didn't, there was this selfish.
If that was Bartimaeus, didn't he say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me?
No, well, maybe, I don't know. But that's just
recognizing his kingship.
Yeah, they're all having faith in him. I mean, they're having faith in him, which is giving glory to God. So, again, I agree completely with you. If we ask anything that's not his will, he's not going to do it for us. And so we have to avoid James chapter 4, you ask, but you don't have because you ask to consume it upon your lusts. And a lot of the requests that we make are like that. Most of them, maybe. But what healing is not me wanting to get better? I think the glorifying God comes in more, well, Lord, if you want me sick to bring more glory to you, I am willing to do that.
But Paul even had a thorn in the flesh.
Yeah.
And the Lord wouldn't remove it.
That's right. And that wasn't his will, obviously. So, again, you know, what Alan's saying is absolutely correct. And this is the... Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Because
there's a tension there.
You have this, and God is, because for example, if you want to be a witness for him at the hospital, you don't go if you're well.
Yeah, I have to.
That drags you in there, and then you have the opportunity, yeah, to be a testimony in the place of acceptance.
You know, if the only time I got anything from God was when I had it perfectly right, man, I'm just not going to get anything.
Yeah.
You know. If I can't expect God to do anything unless I've got it right, there's no hope for me. And I say that knowing that all of the things that God does for me is by grace, right? It's just by his grace. And I don't deserve it, and he does it anyways. And what comes to mind is my child. They're going to come to me, and they're going to make a request of me, and it's purely selfish because they're children. But I love them, and I have compassion for them. And there are things that they're going through that I do not want them to go through. And if I could, in a second, I would. But he's the perfect father, and I'm his child, and he has compassion on me, and he's gracious. But I like your word, tension.
Paul's thorn in the flesh was to protect him from pride.
Yeah, and a lot of times God answers our prayer by saying, no, that happens a lot.
If I healed you of this, you would become...
It would be a worse thing.
So now we're
right.
going to hamper you so that you refuse to rely on me.
Yeah, I agree with. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying completely. Tyson?
What comes to mind for me is what we just talked about, was it a Sunday or two ago, when we were talking about the woman with the bleed for 12 years.
Right.
I mean, she kind of snuck up on it.
Right. Right.
Maybe, I mean, obviously you're not going to sneak up on God.
Right.
Right. But there, in that situation, it kind of counters a little bit of what we're talking about. As far as she wasn't approached by Jesus. She wasn't.
She was just going on her own faith.
Right.
And that was sufficient. And God, and Jesus commended her for that. You know, that was a good thing.
The kingdom of God suffered, allows for violent, and violent will come by force.
Yeah, and that's a good example of her taking that.
I'm going to allow it.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow an aggressive pursuit of me.
Right. Right.
Yeah, also, those who have ears look to hear and eyes let them see.
Right.
And many times, you know, I've misunderstood about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until I came to the country, it got quiet, that I realized I'm not too well. for me, because I always felt that I had a calling to come out west.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Right. Go west, young man. Right.
At the same time, things became more clearer, and then turned those that
Right.
And you have to be able to see those things that we take for granted.
Yeah.
They truly are. It's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the next day, everything cleared up.
All right.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, good.
Maybe because of the dietary. So,
all right.
But at the same time, God saved me because he gave me time to rest. Later on in life, I had come to understand why that purpose was.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to the next one, the working of miracles. And again, the same sort of struggle. We understand what miracles are. Well, where are the miracles? So again, if you have the gift of miracles, I see that being an operation in one thing, in one way. And then, of course, we pray for miracles. That's just the normal crying out to God. And prayer is so multifaceted that, you know, there are so many sides to prayer and bringing our requests made to God. And yet, it's a simple thing. But when we talk about the gift, the working of miracles, we're talking about, and some people want to argue, but what is a miracle? Well, you know, we're not going to spend time on that, but something that God does that's supernatural, right? Okay, something that God does that's supernatural, an act of power that supersedes normal acts in the world, all right, the normal operations within the world. But you also have God's providence, which I would include in the miraculous. And what would you say God's providence, how would you define God's providence? What is God's providence, Curtis?
Supernatural.
Okay. Okay, I would call a miracle the supernatural part, and providence I would actually move away from using the word supernatural, Tyson, and I'll explain why. It's still supernatural in a sense, but it's another kind of way to get there, Tyson.
It's like having a need, check shows up in the mail that you never knew was coming.
Right. Yeah, right at the right time, something like that. Or you lose your keys and you can't get in the car and you're all upset. Or you get a flat tire and you're all upset. If you could have seen it work out, God spared you by causing you to lose your keys or having a flat tire. He spared you from getting into that fatal accident. That's God's providence. Those are like simple one, you know, two dot, you know, connect the dots kind of thing. God's providence obviously is much more complicated than that because it often involves other people and their will and choices and all of that. So God's providence is the working of God through the course of life in order to bring about something amazing, maybe that we prayed for. It's not really supernatural in the sense that a miraculous thing happens right then and there, but it is supernatural in the fact that only God could orchestrate every step away of the way in order to bring us to the end result. So I include this under the miraculous, God's providential work. So the gift of miracles is the ability to perform miracles, and again, we see that with Jesus, and we see that with the apostles in the book of Acts. And it's listed in the gifts here given to the church in Corinth. Signs and wonders, we talked about that earlier. They're often done as a pointer to the word maybe that might be preached. But, you know, anything that points us towards God and builds up our faith could be included in that. Now, personal examples. Let me share some personal things that I've experienced. And some of these are healing and some of these are providential, and you can discern. But these are miraculous things that have happened in my life. So when I was, 6 years old, my brother is 2 years younger than me. He was like 4 years old. I used to go across the street in Florida. There's canals. They have dug canals all over South Florida. So I would cross the street, jump the fence, go on somebody else's dock and go fishing. And I had my brother with me on this one particular time. And we were on the dock. And it wasn't very deep, but we're yay high. So there's this big fish just sitting right next to the dock. And I was afraid to catch that big fish. I did not want to catch that big fish. So being the good big brother that I was. Said, Eric, scare that fish away. So he's holding on to the post and he's trying to kick the water to scare the fish away. We were going fishing, but I didn't want to catch the big one. I wanted the big one to get away. Well, I don't know what happened. He kicked and he went into the water. And he was far from me, and he's this far under the water, and he's like paddling crazy. And to this day, I just have no recollection of pulling him out. Somehow I reached down, grabbed him, and pulled him out of the water onto the dock. So we went back home, and I was in the backyard hosing him down. My mother came out, and I guess she freaked out or something. But that's God. That was just God. I don't know how it happened. I have no recollection of that. I have another time. This happened twice. So I'm driving. In my lane. It was a two lane, and one time there was a big bend, and I see someone like go into my lane, you know, to pass somebody else, and I just had this feeling they were not going to get out of the lane in time, so I pulled over, and sure enough, they just come barreling by my lane. The second time this happened, I was in high school, and I had friends in the car behind me, and we're going, again, in some of the roads in Florida, a little west where we lived, were kind of narrow, so I see down the road somebody pulling in my lane, and I just had this sense they're not going to get out in time, and I pulled over, and my friends pulled over behind me thinking I wanted to talk to them. Well, there's this lady, and she was old, and she was terrified behind the wheel, and she just kind of went right by us in our lane. So those two times that happened where I just had this sense that I needed to get out of the road. Because this was going to, you know, they weren't. One time, there was this lightning strike. Me and Christina came up to the van, and it struck this far away from us on top of the rear view mirror. Didn't feel anything, just saw it. That was it. It was just like, whoop. There was no sound, nothing. It was just the lightning strike this far from us. So, I don't know. God just wanted me to see his power. But nothing happened to us, thankfully. My son Andrew had appendicitis. He's 3. He couldn't tell us what was wrong. We could just tell he wasn't feeling good. So I'm outside carrying him. It's nighttime, it's dark. I'm just walking up and down the street, just trying to calm him down, and you know, I'm praying, of course. Well, it turned out his appendix had ruptured, and by the time we made it to the doctor, after the surgery, he came out and he says, your boy was one sick little boy. So God was watching over us. My son Stephen, he had open heart surgery when he was 11 months old. And there were some complications after the surgery. He actually had that pericarditis where it inflamed, and they had to put the needle in an emergency procedure. They had to put the needle. But that's not what... There was another complication, and I was taken to the doctor. I had been to the doctor for this several times, and on this last time, I was leaving the doctor's office with Stephen in my arms, and the doctor was walking next to me, and another doctor came up, and they started talking, and I made a comment that it seems like it's related to this, and they started joking about that. It wasn't intentional. They weren't trying to be mean, but because I was really struggling with what was going on with Stephen, I did not like that. I walked out of the hospital and I said, oh Lord, I just pray that you would touch Stephen now and that I never have to come back here again. And I never had to go back there again because of that. So that was miraculous. My oldest son, Andrew, again, he had the appendix. Andrew, we were in a lake in North Carolina. He was at least 100 yards away. Well, now it seems like it was really far away, but maybe it wasn't that far. But he was drowning out there. He had gone a little too far along, you know, that floating rope there. He had lost the rope, and he's just jumping up and up and down, trying to stay above the water, and I just took off running through the water straight to him. And thankfully, I was able to make it out there in time and grab him. Joseph, my oldest, was diagnosed with a kidney disease, and then we prayed and asked the Lord to be gracious there, and that never came up again. My father-in-law, he was in his 70s, just was hard against all things Christian, but in his 70s, he gave his life over to Jesus. That was miraculous. And I had the privilege of baptizing him. And then the provision for this place, debt-free. People said I was crazy that we didn't want to go into debt in order to build this building. And I felt crazy a whole lot of the time. But God provided, praise the Lord, and that was miraculous. I mean, through his provision and his providence. So those are some of the things closest. Of course, he's done many other things, but those are closest to miraculous in my life through the years. And I've been a Christian for a long time, and I wish there was a whole lot more, you know, than that. But I'm thankful for those, plus all the other things that he does. And of course, there have been times where he hasn't done it for according to his will and for his glory. And praise the Lord for that as well, though it's harder that way. Gary?
Well, I think about the stories of the women who have lifted cards off their kids being stuck on her. You know, that's got to be divine intervention that a woman lifted a card and pulled it out.
Yeah, there's lots of stories of that. How, you know, God does miraculous things like that for the sake of somebody that needs it. Yes. Yeah. Anyone want to share their miracles? Any miracles that you've had? Yeah. It's hard to think of it when you're on the spot, right? Alan, you got one to share with us?
Yeah, after stroke number 3, we wound up being a pulmonary embolism. Pumped a blood clot through my heart. The next thing I remember is I'm on a table, I guess, on something. I can't feel my arms, I can't feel my legs, and I can't speak. And guess somewhere in there I said, okay, God, if this is how it is the rest of my life, okay. Start singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess about an hour or two later, I'll come back.
Good. Praise the Lord for that.
Lost some of this.
Yeah. It's like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who got thrown into the fire. They said, God is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't,
okay.
That's right. Okay. You just know we're not going to worship you. And I think that's a... To be content like that, Lord, whatever you want to do that brings the most glory to you is fine with me. I think that's a good place to be at most of the time. Anyway, that's miracles. I believe that God can do it. Obviously, he can heal. He can do miracles. We are to pray for these things. I believe that you should pray for the desire of your heart. Just pray for the desire of your heart. Being ready for God to adjust and to say no, but maybe he will do it. So you keep praying for what you want unless he says no or unless he says wait or whatever his answer is. You pray for the desires of your heart, assuming that you're loving him and following him, not to consume it upon yourself. Pray for the desires of your heart and trust him with it. Trust him for the yes, trust him for the no, trust him for the not now, whatever his response might be, trust him with it. And let him get all the glory in the end, regardless of what he does or does not do for us. Okay? All right, let's pray and we'll finish. Sorry for going a little late tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We don't understand all of the ins and the outs of healing and miracles. But they're there in your word, and we know that you can do them. And we know that you care about us, and you have compassion. And even if we don't see the miraculous supernatural healing or miracle, we know that you love us and that you are at work in our lives every moment of every day. We give you the glory for that. We cast our lives into your hands, for you gave us this life, and we are here to serve you and to glorify you in the best possible way. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.